This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Her Vantage, and this is where we speak to women of influence and leadership. Her 370-day, 65,369-kilometer solo ride across 40 countries and 4 continents earned her the Asia World Record for the longest bike ride, solo ride across the world, woman, in 2017. She's currently stationed in Tanzania due to the COVID-19 pandemic until she could resume her journey in hope to complete a second world tour to complete 70 countries in 7 continents. Who am I talking about? I'm now speaking to legendary Anita Yusuf. So nice to be seeing to you, Anita.
Hi, Frida. Nice to hear you too.
Okay. And you know, you've been stationed or slash stuck in Tanzania for a few months now.
Yes, I am. It's 9 months now. Yeah, I'm stranded here.
Okay, you can actually have a baby.
No way.
Okay, I'm reading your story. How did this lecturer end up in adventure riding in the first place?
Oh, that's a long story to tell. But to cut it short, I have always loved to travel. Previously, I always backpacked to many countries. And then one fine day, I read a blog of this cyclist, a Malaysian cyclist who cycled to Kyrgyzstan, and he shared lots of beautiful pictures in his blog. So I contacted him and I asked him how to get to all the places he went to, because being a backpacker at that time, I rely on public transportation. Mm. Unfortunately, Kyrgyzstan is a mountainous country and the public transportation is not good. Right. So he suggested to me that I need to cycle like him. Oh. But I was a lecturer at that time, so, and my semester holidays were not long enough for me to do a cycling trip. And then he's the one who suggested that why don't I try riding a motorbike so it's faster. At that time, I didn't even know how to ride a motorbike. Ooh. We were talking about 2012. Yes, right. 2012. So at that time also, I was facing a serious relationship conflict. Mm. And I thought that, okay, maybe I should try riding a motorbike, traveling on a motorbike, so that I can focus on something else besides thinking about my relationship problem.
Right.
So I challenged myself. I picked up riding, and then I started to travel in the beginning in Malaysia and in the neighboring countries, and I get very addicted into riding. Uh-huh. So that's how it started for me.
Okay, because I also was reading about it, you had to overcome your childhood trauma of falling off a bike.
Yes, because you see, when I started to travel with the motorbike abroad, I have a trainer and he took me to difficult road which is not suitable for, I was a newbie at that time, so I couldn't even handle the bike properly, but he has taken me to riding on off-road. So because of that, I was very scared, and also when I need to ride on twist, very curvy and very steep road, and the bike which I'm using, it is not the normal Kapchai automatic bike. I am using a motorbike with clutch, so I need to balance the clutch and the throttle. So these are all very, you know, confusing for a beginner. And you see, I started to cross the border between Malaysia and Thailand only within 43 days of learning how to ride a motorbike.
Wow. Okay.
Only 43 days. So I am very, very green at the time.
Okay. So, okay, I know that you are you were doing your PhD. Are you still doing your PhD?
No, unfortunately, I quit already because of, because of this thing. I get so addicted into riding, and what I have in mind was every time I had holidays, even though a short one, I already said, okay, this weekend or these 3 days holidays, where I want to go and ride. Mm. So, you see, I'm studying for PhD. I'm doing my PhD part-time, not a full-time student. So with my job and also doing a PhD, doing both in the same time is not easy. as a part-time student. Yeah, but actually I had already done my thesis until I'm done with chapter 3. I already did my vetting and was allowed to continue my research. I already collected my data. Right. I only need to finish the last 2 chapters. But this writing thing get into me. So after that, I cannot pursue anymore.
Right. So, okay, we'll talk about your first journey, right? We started from Putrajaya, September 11, 2015. And then you returned home a year later through Bukit Kayu Hitam on September 16, 2016. So again, that was 40 countries, 4 continents, and riding solo. Were you worried about your safety as a woman? That's the first thing I'm thinking about.
Yes, of course. Being a woman riding alone, safety is number one priority, number one thing which I always had in my mind. So, yeah, I did lots of research. Certain people, especially men, they didn't need to do research as much as I did. Mm. But being a woman, I need to have some expectation what I'm going to face.
Right.
So I have to read and also take some precaution to make sure that I'm not risking too much while doing the ride.
For example, give me an example where if you go to a particular country, you must behave like how?
Oh, okay. First of all, my riding attire. When I'm on the bike, I didn't portray myself as a woman at all.
Right.
Wearing a men's riding jacket, and I'm wearing a full face helmet, and my bike didn't show any sign that I am a female.
Right.
No pink stuff on my bike.
Okay. No pink stuff. All right.
Yeah, that's one thing. And then the other thing is whenever I need to ask for direction, normally I will try to find, if possible, a female student.
Right.
Because why I'm choosing student, because in my opinion, they can converse in English. Mm. And then number two is because I feel safer when I'm asking the girls.
Okay.
But if there is no choice, then I will have to ask men.
Right.
And then number three is I always make sure that I stop riding before it gets dark and start to sort out where I'm going to sleep night. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So these are little things that, you know, and these are the things that only women have to think about, unfortunately, right? Okay. How did you fund yourself?
Well, basically from my own salary, my own savings. Mm-hmm. So, and of course, during the first time, it was not enough. I have a very small fund, mm-hmm. and unfortunately, I have some followers and close friends. They chip in a bit here and there,
right.
And also when I was on the go, I stopped at Malaysian Embassy to report, because that was the criteria from Asia Book of Records and also Asia Book of Records, which I need to report, and I need to get a verification letter from the Malaysian embassies abroad. So when I stop at Malaysian embassies, normally they will ask me to give a talk, and after that, yeah, they will collect money among themselves and help me. Yeah, so it really helps. This kind of donations really help.
Okay, now you also have a few sponsors. I know Givi, right? Italy's motorcycle brand appointed you as their brand ambassador. The same
That one is after I'm back.
Right?
Yeah, after I'm back, yeah.
Okay, and then of course, Levi's Global has also chosen you to represent Malaysia and I Shape My World campaign, a global initiative celebrating women from across 10 countries. And then of course, the Cortex UCAN Award. So what's your message to people who are afraid to try something new?
Well, I always say that the biggest fear in mankind is when fear rules your mind. So you must not allow that. Of course, being a normal person, we will always have fear. But it must be within our control. Because if we couldn't control the fear, then you cannot think straight anymore. So my advice will be, like in my own adventure, you always need to know what you are doing. You can do crazy things, you know, but not stupid things. This is what my trainer always tell me. So whatever that I want to go, I want to do, or wherever I want to visit I want to write to, I will do research. I will do my homework. So with the knowledge in hand, you will have some expectation. And also, you can always ask yourself, okay, are you sure you want to do this? Are you brave enough to do this? So this kind of thing. So always do your research, do your homework, and you will be fine.
Right. And of course, you know, I know that for you to do this, your children are quite grown up already.
Not quite.
So they're grown up, so you have a bit more freedom to just go about and pursue your dreams, right?
Yes, of course.
I'm here with Anita Yusuf, who received the award for Asia Book World Record for the longest bike solo ride across the world, Women in 2017. We'll continue our conversation after this. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Buggy Free Minum, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You're listening to Her Vantage, and this is where we speak to women of influence and leadership. I'm here with amazing Anita Yusuf, who has earned her the Asia Book World Record for the longest bike solo ride across the world. In 2017, and that's over 370 days, over 65,000 kilometers. And now she is stationed in Tanzania to complete her second world tour, to complete 70 countries and 7 continents. Of course, that has to take a backseat because of the pandemic. So I'm sure when you thought of doing this, there were a lot of naysayers, right? Janganlah, Anita, you know, this is all these kind of things, right? How did you overcome them?
Okay, so rule number one, never announce about what you are going to do very early. Because if you did that, you will have all these naysayers. So I only announced about my world ride during the first time. I only announced about 10 days or 14 days before I'm flying out.
Okay.
So they don't have much time to influence me.
Okay. And you know, a lot of times it's like they mean well, right? They mean well. It's usually probably your mother or something like that, right? But if you give them too much time, you will believe it too, right? Now, you've also written books, Gembara Solo Stans Asia Tengah and the Global Dream Ride series, to share your adventures on your motorcycle around the world. So, and a portion of the proceeds is used to help underprivileged children in the countries you visit. Now, what have you seen on your journey with children?
Okay, for example, for my second world ride, I started in South Africa. So I have done 14 countries, and I've seen how poor the people are, especially outside the city. And I've seen children, most of them barefooted. When they walk on the street, they don't have any, not even slippers to wear, and also wearing torn clothes and torn pants. So I felt so sorry for these children, and lots of them also, they are malnutritious. Do I got it right?
Malnourished.
Okay.
Yeah.
Malnourished, okay, and also very, very skinny. So I felt really sorry for these kids. So that is why, apart from my book sales, I put it aside to help these children. And whenever possible, I did. This is my charity for the children in Africa.
So we were saying earlier, you're currently stationed in Tanzania due to the pandemic until you can resume your journey, and that's your second world tour to complete 70 countries in 7 countries. How long will that take? You can start. How long will that journey take? 70 countries in 7 continents.
So I'm taking my first world ride. The mistakes which I did in my first world ride in terms of time frame. Because during my first world ride, it was rushed. I did in 1 year because I took 1 year off from job. So by hook or by crook, I need to complete ride. Yes. Yeah. So for my second one, you see, I have opted for an early retirement. So I don't have any worries regarding time. So this time, I didn't set any time frame. So it's up to me how long I want to do the ride. If I feel like it's nice, it's good, so it will take a few years.
Right.
Yeah, but I don't set any time frame.
Okay, so you've been in Tanzania for 9 months now. What have you been up to? what have you been up to in Tanzania?
Okay, so, well, actually, what I have been up to, I have already come out with my latest book, mm-hmm. which already sold out. The first print already sold out, yeah.
Okay.
So, and I am still here. So, and I'm not so sure for how long more, because I kept my bike in Ethiopia, not in Tanzania. Because when the pandemic happened, I have already reached Ethiopia. I only need to cross to Sudan and Egypt, and I'm done with my African part of the second ride. So unfortunately, the pandemic happened. So I, at that time, I really had to decide where to go, what to do. Mm-hmm. I cannot stay in Ethiopia because I need to have visa, and the visa is only valid for 1 month. Mm-hmm. So I left my bike there. I decided to fly to Tanzania, which I had already done before. Before I reached Ethiopia, I have already ridden in Tanzania.
Right.
So I was here for 9 months. I'm already come out with the book. And now I think I'm still here. Don't know for how much more, I don't know for how long more. So maybe I'll come out with another book.
Okay.
Or I'm also focusing on my YouTube channel. It's Anita Yusuf. Yeah, because I never had time to edit my videos when I'm on the go. But now I have time. So I am starting to slowly putting more videos on my channel.
Okay, I will subscribe after this. Now,
thank you very much.
You know, there's a lot of back-end work, right? I mean, as you were saying in your travel, like sorting out accommodation and servicing the bike as well. How did you handle this? And how do you handle this? Yeah.
Okay, I can do the simple things like servicing my bike. I can do it on my own. But for the more complicated things, I will send it to the workshop. Well, that is not my biggest concern, actually. There are many other more important things which I am more concerned about. But for the service, I have my schedule and also my plan. Okay, when I reach the big city, I will just research, okay, which workshop. And also now, you see, it's more convenient because there are lots of travel apps which we can download on our phone. So for me, I have my favorite app is this one called iOverlander. So in that app, there are lots of things which you can find. It's very easy to find workshop. Mm. It's very easy to find where to stay, or if I need to camp, where I can pitch my tent, which is safe. So, yeah, because people keep on putting things inside, putting more information inside. Right. So, it's like my travel Bible. So, I always check on this app to know where to go and where to find things. Whatever that I want to find, this app will be my first source.
Right. Okay. So, you got to know what will we do without technology. Okay.
That is why I really salute the old-timers travelers. Because they travel only with a paper map and nothing else.
Right. And then they won't be carrying no guidebook, no nothing, right? So, okay. You know, like, I'm sure there are many memorable moments in your travel, right? And you know, besides the children, can you share one which has moved you the most?
Travel moment. I can share one experience which I had in Kyrgyzstan. Mm-hmm. At that time, this was not during my world ride. This was during my training ride, not with my Sifu, mm-hmm. but the one which I had at home. So remember I told you in the beginning that I want to see Kyrgyzstan because of this cycling. So after 1 year learning how to ride a motorbike, I went to Kyrgyzstan. So at that time, I was really very, very newbie and I don't have any off-road experience. And Kyrgyzstan is an underdeveloped country and the roads are, you can find paved road in bigger towns and cities. But outside of it is all off-road. So I was riding on this off-road, falling a few times already and very tired. I couldn't reach the next town. So I had to seek shelter at this very small settlement, only got few houses. So I my drinking water, I finished my drinking water. So I asked this lady by the roadside, she can give me a water. And then after she gave me water, and then I asked her if there is any place for me to sleep for the night. Of course, I know that there is no hotel. It's very small places, a very small settlement. Mm-hmm. So she invited me to go to her house, which I accepted happily. And she's poor, she's very poor. But she tried her best to welcome me. And then she asked me what would I like to eat for dinner. I said, you know, we Asian, we always want rice. Mm-hmm. So she made the traditional cuisine. They call it plov, which is the taste is like our fried rice. Mm. But she put a dried lamb meat inside the plov. Right. And this dried meat, like, you know, when they slaughter animal and then they dry the meat and yeah. they hang it on the kitchen wall. Mm. So the meat was quite stubborn.
I know.
How do you call it? It's liat, you know, in Malay we call it liat. So difficult to eat. Mm. So I can eat it. But I already put it in my mouth. I cannot eat it because it's very, 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 very stubborn.
Right.
So after that, when I want to I want to go to sleep, mm. and then I saw her cleaning the kitchen, mm. and she took a knife, and then she knifed the meat which I couldn't eat from the bones. Mm. She ate. Wow. So you just imagine how do I feel at that time, because I already put the meat inside my mouth, but I couldn't eat it. And because she being poor, and I felt very guilty, because you see, she served her
the best
for a stranger, right. And I'm the stranger. It's like I'm not being thankful for what she had done. So this is the thing which really moved me. And after that, I swear I will never, ever, ever in my life waste food again.
Right. Okay. So you see, generosity in people, their kindness, and even though we don't speak the same language, and they still give you the best. Wow, what an amazing journey you've had and will continue to have. I'm such an honor to be speaking to you. I've never spoken to someone out in Tanzania. You know, look forward to hearing more stories and getting more books from you as well.
Okay.
And hopefully to see you in the flesh soon.
Inshallah, God willing.
All right, stay safe. I've been speaking to the amazing Anita Yusuf. You've been listening to Her Vantage on Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.